Friends, come a little closer to the fire. That's right. I make my cereal the old-fashioned way. I fill a bowl with grain and binding agents and sugar, and I stir them up in a bowl and I cook them over in this kiln. And that's how I make my cereal. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm a cereal enthusiast.
Oh, you don't forge your own cereal bowl over the same kiln? I mean, amateur mistake, I get it. But I'm Dan Goubert, and I am a true cereal blacksmith. I make the spoon, the bowl, the kitchen table, the kitchen.
The milk, you make the milk yourself.
The milk, don't ask.
A complicated series of levers and pulleys.
Mm-hmm. Also involves fire.
This is The Empty Bowl. It's a meditative podcast about cereal, which sounds like a joke, but it's not. We make a podcast that is designed to be a relaxing, calming experience that just happens to be about the best food. I think the best food around in town. That's where I'm at. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. A lot of people like pizza, but cereal's the best for me.
Yeah, you think we could talk this long about pizza?
No.
Bi-weekly to quad-weekly business.
let's not spend any more time extolling the virtues of cereal. Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. And I am, I'm not blue about these first two stories you've got coming down the pike. In fact, you might say about these first three stories, I'm very excited.
I mean, in some sense of the word, everything we're going to talk about involves blueberries. I don't know why. That's sort of the hit berry in terms of the cereal market right now, but I'm all for it because I feel
berry.
When it's done right, it's really right. But basically these first three stories all come from the same source, which was a Twitter follower named Devin, who I'm very thankful to for sort of sharing like an insider glimpse at some cereals that do not have their box art developed yet, but very much exist as cereals in both name, concept, and execution. But the first is something we sort of knew about. Obviously, we all remembered just a couple weeks back when we were talking about Eggo cereal and how the brand said on Twitter that if they get 10,000 retweets, they would bring back Eggo cereal. And I remember we tried to sort of call them on their bluff, saying that you kind of know how long it takes to make a new cereal, so it's very unlikely that their decision to do this is actually contingent on anything we do, right?
Right. It's not up to us.
But I sort of like to think that we swayed it, because by the time that we mentioned it, it had already been like several days after they tweeted it, but it was lingering very purgatorially at like 4,000 retweets. But then like days after we talked about it on the show, it just shot up over 10,000. So it's either we made it happen or, you know, they faked it. So either way, I think we're the winning party here. But
They
kind of threw us for a loop in that there's no word yet that the actual maple Eggo cereal is coming back, but we do have photo evidence now of a blueberry Eggo cereal that is coming soon from Kellogg's.
I love that. Man, that's going to be good. If they combine the blueberry and syrupy flavors in with the perfect cereal piece, I think that is going to be a genuine delight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all missing Waffle Crisp. It's left that griddled hole in my heart. And so that's why I'm a little bit confused this isn't pure maple. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit worried just because the Cap'n Crunch blueberry pancake cereal wasn't all that in terms of, you know, the mapliness. So I'm going into this one with a little bit of trepidation.
I would very much like for you to continue.
Well, this one obviously can almost entirely be attributed to you for it returning, but Blueberry Muffin Toasters, formerly known as Blueberry Muffin Tops, we had a rumor that they were coming back. We had like a shot of the image, a shot of the logo, but now we have an actual photo of the cereal, which, no surprise, looks exactly like it used to. So it seems they heard the cries of us again and again on this show, and they made it happen.
I this is a thrill for me. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Blueberry Muffin Tops fan. So thrilled to have it to have it back. It is a lovely, lovely cereal that I am so excited to have back on store shelves.
Is that the quote that they'll attribute to you on the box?
Yeah. I see you've put in a bit of Blueberry Muffin Tops lore into this post here, a video of the bag stage pass that we did at our Blueberry Muffin Tops event that we held in that one PAX in Boston.
What are the odds we can make something like that happen again by sheer force of will?
I think they've probably learned their lesson from the amount they spent doing that the first time, which is to say, too much money.
But people are still talking about it. Here we are.
It's
so
true.
Many years later.
It's true. Let's keep going. Another return of four berries.
So this one's probably the least interesting, but coming from the same source, we also know that mixed berry filled mini wheats are returning. This was something that first appeared as touch of fruit in the middle mixed berry mini wheats, which is just a whole hassle to say.
That's a lot.
I'm really glad that they brought back the same, you know, probably a generic blend of strawberries, blueberries, and raspberries that we normally see in mixed berry confections. And, you know, sort of putting that little dollop inside the frosted mini wheats. I can't say that I'm terribly excited for this because I know it's just going to be really dry. But, I mean,
does that do the texture with the filled shredded mini wheat?
I find that it doesn't really do anything just because they don't put enough of it in there.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not surprised that they didn't, you know, sort of turkey baste it to the brim with actual jelly. But you know how actually crunchy and like hay it is to eat a shredded wheat brick, that it's very much like finding, you know, the blueberry needle in the haystack.
Right. I like this. This is adjacent. This is for this final story. Cereal adjacent.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, obviously it's been a little bit since our latest episode, but when we were first going to record this, there was like nothing happening in the cereal world. And then the day or two after all this, this blueberry news came up, but I was sort of straining to find things that were cereal adjacent. And I still think this warrants inclusion, just because I have it in my fridge right now, actually waiting to try. But, Borden Farms is introducing three new county fair-inspired milks. Obviously, we've tackled some cereal-adjacent things like Pop-Tarts, but I think milk is pretty much fair game.
Yes,
by
absolutely.
Any measure, right? But especially when the flavor of these milks are, respectively, cotton candy, blueberry cobbler, and banana taffy milks.
Banana taffy is such a wild swing. Like, what a big bold call that you're making there with that.
Like, you could have done elephant ear milk.
Yeah, like just a sweet cinnamon kind of deal. Like, they think that would be cool. It's just what a wild swing that is to me. I just think that's such a strange leap to make.
I think we talk a lot about how, like, the cereal industry is struggling to keep pace with, like, new consumer audiences, but milk, man, really seems to be having an identity crisis. But after I first tweeted about these, the company reached out to me about mailing me some in sort of a cooled container. They were very, very specific about the fact that someone needed to be there to receive the milks before they went bad.
It's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're in my fridge right now, and it's just a matter of what specific cereal should I pair each of these with to make, you know, the perfect cocktail? I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
You know, I think, you know what, like, the first thing that sprung to my mind is, like, Wheaties and banana taffy. Like, that to me sounds like really, that sounds very good. Or, like, maybe, like, cotton candy with Kix.
Ooh.
Something like that might be nice.
Yeah, it's got to be something subtle, really, in the way that you look at it. But I was going to say blueberry cobbler and golden grams is almost a done deal in my book.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that would be delicious. Wow. I will be honest with you. I have held off on reading your review of this first cereal because I am so excited about it. And I am so hopeful that it delivers in the big bowl flavor department.
So just to preface, we've gotten a lot of, like, seasonal limited edition Cheerios. Do you have, like, a complete track record of trying most, if not all of them?
Can I be honest? I don't actually. This is just a specific flavor that we've talked about that's underrepresented in the cereal world that I would love to see more progress on. I think it's that is the main appeal for me.
Yeah, so so draw out the lead here a little bit more. We've had strawberry Cheerios, great. Pumpkin spice Cheerios, probably the best pumpkin spice cereal. Peach Cheerios, they were all right. And then most recently, the blueberry Cheerios, which I think, you know, obviously they're ahead of their time, and these other blueberry cereals are going to have a heck of a time catching up.
Right.
But none of those Cheerios compare to, in my opinion, these latest ones. Toasted coconut Cheerios, something that I heard about. I saw the box art. It had a, you know, sort of a beach umbrella in it, and I felt this was one of those ideas that was, you know, on the edge of the cutting board after all their summer ideation, and they kind of pushed it out a little bit late. But after having tried Toasted Coconut Cheerios already, I have to say this is a top contender for the year in my book.
Wow.
I didn't expect that. I'm not even the biggest coconut person, like Almond Joy, Mound. But they really nail it here in that it's not the really boring, like, Baker's coconut or tropical coconut that you see in, like, your Special K's and your other limited edition varieties that sliver these little chalky chunks of coconut in there.
Right, yeah.
No, they really do the Honey Nut Cheerios approach here of just glazing on a very, like, macaroni coconut flavor.
Okay.
That's just enough understated to let it prop up that Cheerios oat base and really make something that's much more minimalistic yet effective than pretty much anything else that's being put out in the cereal game right now.
Wow, that is huge praise.
Right?
Is there anything texturally that has changed for this? I know sometimes with some of the oat Cheerios, we've seen like a little bit of like extra crunch on there. Is there any sort of like textural component on this, or is it just a coconut flavor?
No, it's basically like, so you have your plain old Cheerios, which are super dry and plain. Then you have your chocolate peanut butter Cheerios that are all powdered up and dusted up.
Mm-hmm.
But these are like the Honey Nut Cheerios in that they're a little bit sticky, you know, a little bit. There's a thin veneer on top of it, but it's nothing that you would notice in a detrimental sense, definitely.
Can I hope that Millville Peanut Butter and Jelly Puffs is anywhere near as good?
You know, it's actually pretty close. I mean, so earlier this year, like I tried the Hostess Donut cereal that has been, you know, praised so often here on the podcast, and I thought, that's it. Don't need to try anything else. That's probably going to be the best cereal of the year. But after Toasted Coconut Cheerios and now the Millville Peanut Butter and Jelly Puffs, I think we have two solid contenders because I'm pretty much just a sucker for peanut butter and jelly anything. I think it's probably the most underrepresented flavor combo in terms of no-brainers for cereal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the last, you know, true PB&J cereal we saw was the Jif one that came out, I think, 2 to 3 years ago now. And got kind of mixed reviews. I get it. The pieces were very small and brittle and not quite as effective. But here, we just have plain old spheres, and they're big spheres at that. These are like Crunchberry-style spheres, spheroids, if you will, of, you know, the peanut butter ones are kind of like Reese's Puffs in that they are, you know, very well dusted, but they also have that tinge of salt to it that I think sets them above. And the jelly puffs, I think, are clearly meant to be strawberry, but they really have, like, this ambiguous middle ground between strawberry and grape that I think something that was previously unthinkable might be able to, you know, solve the bitter divide between strawberry jelly and grape jelly fans on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's so nice that they finally there could be peace. Peace in the sandwich.
Yes, this definitely wins the Nobel Peace Prize for cereal this year. And if you are out near an Aldi, I would highly recommend it.
Now tell me, Dan, why there is a review here for Blueberry and Count Chocula 2019. Is this a cereal that, are these cereals that are evolving year to year?
I mean, we talked about Frankenberry a little bit last time, right? Because you shared your experience with that.
Yes, it is. I still have this box of it that I'm trying to get through. I wish I enjoyed eating the monster cereals more. I know that since the recipe changed, Boo Bear used to be way up there for me in terms of like all time cereals, but like I feel like with the recipe change, I start to feel like I'm just eating, I don't know, like packing material. There's just no textural substance to it.
Yeah, I mean, I got you there. I only put these on here so that we could, you know, say in our end of year report that we actually, you know, covered the big guns when it came to Halloween cereals. Mm-hmm. But I would agree with you in the most part that the taste really isn't anything to write home about. It obviously hasn't changed at all in the past decade or maybe two, but I think they really benefited this year from having, for the most part, really poor competition. Like, right. I had just finished eating so many Toy Story cereals, the Peeps cereal, the birthday cake Fruit Loops, and the Catacorns, and the Unicorns, and the Mermaids, and they all taste the same.
Yeah.
And so I finally get to a monster cereal, and it's a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, sorry?
What's your favorite of the three?
I mean, by, like, modern flavor standards, or just sort of the whole encompassing mythos of the
interesting
creatures?
Let's say characters notwithstanding, just a flavor.
I mean, it's got to be Count Chocula at that point, just because I think the chocolate does the best job of masking the corn below it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not beautiful, it's not like better than Cocoa Pebbles or Cocoa Puffs, but you know, you can really fake it till you make it there, at least.
Corn can be really well used. Like, it, there are some cereals that use it to great effect, but I feel like, by and large, it is a real... The cheapness of corn and its sort of ubiquity in cereal manufacturing is starting to be a little bit of a plague on the industry, I feel like.
It's just like every corn-based cereal that uses the word corn in the name, I think, tends to have an easier job, whether it's the Flakes or the Pops or the Bran Crunches, you know?
I'm way into a lot of those. I feel like Corn Chex is actually like a delicious, hearty, you know, substantive cereal. But a lot of these, like, outside of that, I can't. I like Pops. I think Corn Pops are really good. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot... Corn, when it's in this sort of state that's in the monster cereals, is just not my fave.
So that's the thing I really wanted to mention too, because I took the plunge and I went to the monstercarving.com site where you're able to download these, you know, these much maligned pumpkin stencils.
Yeah, better you
and,
than
like,
me.
Even like not even discussing the stencils themselves, which are like are really difficult for anyone to actually follow the directions where it says to print them out, tape them to your pumpkin, cut them out, and then trace them in marker. Oh my god. That would be the most frustrating process if you're also the type of person who would bring yourself to the point where you're downloading cereal / Adam's Family pumpkin stencils from the internet. But I think the true crime of this website is the fact that there's so many things wrong with it. There's typos, and there's the fact that when they're describing the cereals, the monster cereals, each of them is described as being a frosted oat cereal. And it's just, did nobody fact check this? Because that's
not
like
true.
The most cardinal sin you could make. You're really just finding that sore spot among monster cereal fans and just putting the cigarette in it when you say something like that.
It's brutal. I'd love to see a revamp of the classic recipe, but who knows? I mean, it's not made for very long out of the year. Why do we have to cheap out on it? You know, it's practically a collector's item. The Millville brand is back for another review. Tell me about Cookies and Cream.
So this one, it seems, has been out for a little bit longer than I knew about it. I don't make it out to Aldi too often. But Millville did its own interpretation of, you know, Oreos. And I thought this was interesting because after a lot of research I did last year, I found that Millville is owned by Malto Meal, who is, of course, owned by Post. So Post simultaneously makes Oreo O's, they make Malto Meal cookies and cream cereal, and they also make Millville cookies and cream cereal. And somehow they all managed to be different. So I wasn't really sure where the Millville one would compare to the others. And I think Oreo O's and the Malto Meal version are very close in terms of quality. But this one is very much sort of the ugly stepchild of the bunch, in that I can't even eat this one. Because I think the main crime is that it doesn't have sprinkles.
Oh, no.
So, like, it's bad enough when they took the marshmallows away from Oreo O's, but without the sprinkles, I don't really know how you get away with calling it a cookies and cream cereal, because where's the cream?
Yeah, guys. Come on.
But, I mean, the thing ends up tasting like, you know, a painted cardboard substitute of Oreo O's, and they also seem to have a golden version of this same cereal, which I can't even imagine just how, you know, sarcophagically dry they would be.
Hey, listen, Dan. We from time to time ask our listeners to weigh in on a question we've posed to them. It's been a month since we have recorded, so honestly, I don't remember what this question was. Do you recall? I hope.
I do recall that I asked people to just, you know, read out their current pantry lineup of what cereals they have. Because I found it tells you a lot about a person, but I also found that when reading this, or listening to all of them, and we got a lot of them, they all start to blend together after a certain point. So I'm sorry if I didn't get, it didn't capture all of the nuances of everybody here, but take a listen.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Dylan. My current cereal lineup is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because it's my favorite of all time, Frosted Mini Wheats with a touch of raspberry, and a concoction that I put together myself this week. I went to the grocery store, and I'd been missing one of my favorites from my childhood so badly, Team Cheerios, that I decided to try to put a version of it together myself. I bought a box of Honey Nut Cheerios, a box of Frosted Cheerios, and a box of Maple Cheerios, and I put them together in one of those reusable plastic containers. And while I don't think it's a perfect representation of the original cereal, it gets close enough to satisfy the nostalgia in my heart and my taste buds. Thanks so much.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Justin. This is Sam from the OH of IO, and the cereals I currently have are the Post Hostess Frosted Donut cereal and Oreo O's, which I mixed together one part donut to two part Oreo O's to make a surprisingly tasty experience.
I don't normally cut in during the emails, but the idea that someone would think that's surprisingly tasty is just beyond the pale.
Have you had a double stuffed Oreo before?
Come on, man. All right, Lassie.
Hello, everyone. This is Nina in Okayama, Japan. Now, Japan just isn't known for its cereals. They have a lot of wonderful foods and a lot of wonderful breakfast options, but cereal just really isn't one of them. But I have found that the Japanese brand of Frosted Flakes really does do the trick for me when I'm feeling a little homesick and wanting a bowl of that good, good stuff we call cereal. So right now I have a big bag of Japanese brand Frosted Flakes in my pantry right now, and it's really doing the trick for me. So thank you so much for this podcast. I love you. That was not what I wanted to say, but, you know, it's true.
Speaking of cereals that hail from Asia, I had a listener, and I have unfortunately lost their contact information in a recent transition of moving one room to another room. And I lost that contact information. So please email if you're the person that was kind enough to send this in. But someone sent me a box of the Oreo O's Red from South Korea, I believe.
Yes.
Hachimachi, Dan.
Yes.
Folks, you are not you're not ready for Korean Oreos, I'm telling you.
Yeah, for real. Like, if we did this podcast over there, we would just be a whole different level.
It would just be an Oreos podcast. I mean, what would be the point?
It's just, yeah, they make them different over there. I don't know why we can't compete to the same standards with our Oreos. I don't know why we're letting, you know, the likes of Millville scrape by with their bottom barrel Oreo lookalikes, but I think we can do better. If this was an Oreo Olympics, we would not be getting that gold.
I want to talk. Here's what I would love people to talk about. What is your universal cereal topping? Your number one topping that you put on, obviously milk aside, number one topping that you can put on to the highest range of cereals and have a great experience.
Are we answering this one now, or are we going to wait till next week?
Let's wait till next week.
All right.
Because we also have an email here. This goes a little something like this. Hello, Justin and Dan. I was recently enjoying a bowl of Reese's Puffs with milk in a glass on the side rather than in the bowl. My husband questioned my technique. I think I was preserving the puff's flavor by not diluting it with milk until the moment they were ready to be eaten. I don't like cereal milk, so any flavor that washed off the puffs would unfortunately be wasted. I also believe the delayed gratification that comes with drinking milk after a bite improves the experience. It's like having a big glass of milk after a cookie. Okay, this is interesting. It continues. What are your thoughts on drinking milk on the side? By doing this, have I preserved the cereal's flavors or put an unnecessary and unnatural barrier between puff and milk? I love the show. Keep up the good work. Best, Alexa. Obviously, Alexa, this being a meditative podcast about cereal, we're not going to settle debates here. I think anyone can eat cereal perfectly legitimate.
I mean, I need to preface that with a question for you. Are you much like me in that you call them Reese's Puffs instead of, you know, the traditional Reese's Puffs?
Reese's Puff.
I mean, that's a conflict I've been enduring for much of my life. And Reese's just flows better. I never hear the end of it. But as to the method, I would say that, right, we don't want to end any debates, but I feel that this is a very meditative way to appreciate cereal. Yes. You know, when you're actually having cereal in milk, there's a little bit of an unspoken time attack going on, in that
everyone
has their quiet preference for how soggy it is before it's too soggy. So I think that doing something like this is a good way to just, you know, appreciate cereal in the monastic tradition of just finding yourself a nice wall or void to stare at while you take the cereal in one bite at a time and really ponder, you know, sort of the interface between cereal and milk.
Yeah, and I think that this is a great cereal to do it with. I mean, I feel like more than a lot of cereals, Reese's Puffs are get really stripped down by milk. They lose a lot of their punch. Now, it goes into the milk, so I'm down. I'll get in there. But if you're not a fan of the milk, then I can see why you would want to, you know, try to keep those two separate.
Well, that means I have a question for now also. Alexa, if you want to reply to that email, if you hear this. But something I've never been able to really settle is whether the different colors of Reese's Puffs actually taste different. Like, I assume that there was some powder interchange between the ones that are close to each other. But since you have been very clearly savoring the subtleties of the Reese's Puff, I would like your perspective on this, if you can share that with us.
One last quick one to go out on. Olivia says, how often do you finish a box of cereal? What do you do with all the 3/4 full boxes of cereal that I can only assume you end up with in this line of work? Just curious, as I bought 3 or 4 cereals due to post-podcast hunger pangs and have only finished 2 of them. They remain in my pantry for occasional snacking, but since I'm unlikely to have cereal as a meal, it's a slow process. From Olivia. I don't know about you. I will say for me, it usually goes one of two ways. Either I will absolutely demolish the cereal in like 2 days, or I will have a couple bowls of it and then just kind of lose interest until it gets too stale. I mean, a lot of the problem also is, we've talked about, like, for me right now in my life, cereal is a sometimes food. And these family size boxes, it's just untenable. I mean, like, there is one member of my family that also likes cereal. Like, we don't have the manpower, the person power, if you will, to sort of churn through these before they've joined the choir invisible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Obviously, I get a ton of unfinished boxes just because I have to try, it feels like, every cereal, and not every cereal is all that great. Right. But
still your body. It's still your human body, you know what I mean, that you're putting these into. So, like, you don't want to just, like, use your body as a trash compactor.
Can I really be called a cereal blogger if I don't eat all of it?
Right.
But, yeah, I think
I could throw this in the trash, but I'll use the trash can that is my body to get rid of it.
As part of my commitment to, like, you know, the ongoing longevity of my blog, I feel it's probably not best in anyone's sort of medical interest for me to eat every single box of cereal that I have. But the problem, yes, is that there's really nothing you can do with it when it's done. I found that if it's a really weird cereal, you can sort of keep it around as, like, a curio or a party gift. That's why I still, I think somewhere, have the maple bacon donut cereal on my pantry shelf. It's probably gained new life at this point, but
it's weird that you're saying that. I would kind of like to mess up a box of that right now.
Really?
I was thinking chicken and waffles. Chicken and waffles. I think I could kind of mess up a box of chicken and waffles right now. Yeah, I kind of dug that one. Wow. We have been so fortunate that you have taken the time to join us here. If you would like to weigh in with your queries or what have you, you can email us. It's mail@bowl.rest. You can also go to bowl.rest to send us a voicemail if you want to take us up on that, on this week's query about cereal toppings. This is also our, I wanted to mention, 20th episode.
Wow.
And I know, as wild as it, we kind of let this... this anniversary slide by last time, because not quite there yet, but that we've also been doing this podcast for a year at this point. September 12th, 2018 was the first episode. So we are now past a year on this project, and we're so grateful for hanging out with us.
Yes, very much.
Sticking by us.
I feel like I still have so many more words to say about cereal, too.
Well, let's hope so. You can support our great work if you go to bowl.rest. There's a support this podcast link. You can toss us like $1 a month, $10 a month, $5 a month, whatever. And we'll split that between keeping Cerealously going and a food shelter here in Huntington. We'd appreciate your support there. Our music that you hear in every episode is The Sun is scheduled to come out tomorrow. Remember that, but it's by Chris Zabriskie. And go for it. So until next time, for Dan Goubert, I'm Justin McElroy. And as always, don't forget
to drink the milk.
We melted at the end. There was a melting.
Mm-hmm.